Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
FS Degen Nation, we are back. It's been a long, hard 7 or 8 months, or however long it's been since we've last done a show. But here we are. Week one is upon us. We are only a couple days away from the showdown slate on Thursday against the Chiefs and the Lions before we headed to the main course of the week one slate on Sunday. So I'm happy it's back. We were talking pre-show about, you know, how much MLB DFS sucks now, and can't really play that. So there's not a lot to play over the summer. So we're back. Football's back. So happy to hear that. So, but Maddie, how have you been living?
Dude, life's good. You know, got a little one running around now. So been chasing her around all summer. But other than that, you know, done a few best balls, had a few home leagues, drafts, and ready to, like you said, ready to get back in the DFS streets.
Yeah, I am looking forward to it. I have been excited. It feels like Christmas every day. So, and we've already had some news, and not that it affects the main slate, but Travis Kelce hyperextended his knee today in practice. So that's wonderful. Not that that affects the main
slate.
Not
great, Bob.
But for Showdown, it's definitely going to have an impact on that, because I think you have like Noah Gray, which is weird to me that he's $2,400 on Showdown. You would think he'd be like $200, maybe $600 or something like that, not $2,400. But maybe they knew something we did. Maybe it is all scripted.
I'm just curious how fast Kelce tries to come back and what the severity of it is.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it before, like where like some of these guys have had, like where it's taken a couple of days, like the swellings went down and they did another MRI and we found it was something more. But right now they're saying that it's not, so we'll see. But I don't think he plays. I mean, why would you risk that, him going out and further injuring something? They said they're going to test it tomorrow, but I think he's out at least this week and maybe one more week. But maybe the Thursday, you know, gives him a little bit more time instead of it being, you know, like on a, you know, later in the week. So it actually gives him a little bit more time to be ready for week two, which they play the Jaguars. So,
yeah, that could be a big game. I mean, repeat of what was that, the divisional round?
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and Jags got a little more firepower this year, at least on offense. Maybe not defense.
Calvin Ridley, dude. But, and who knows? Chris Jones still holding out. But, anyways, we're not here to talk about that. I could talk about that all night. But anyways, so week one is here. Let's talk about week one. Let's talk about the main slate. I think this slate is kind of interesting. Now, obviously, you know, the disclaimer that we give, I feel like every single year we've been doing this, is don't play heavy on week one because there's so much that we don't know. Yes. And just certain situations, like backfield situations, wide receivers. I mean, there's just so many different things that we just don't really know. But right now on the main slate, we have the Chargers with the highest applied point total right now at 27. Then you have the Ravens at 26.75. You have the Vikings 25.75. The Seahawks the same. And then the Bengals are 25. As we know, I think the Chargers and the Dolphins game is going to be the chalk. It's the score total with over 50 plus points, where everything else is kind of a little bit below that. But Maddie, at quarterback this week, I think there's some different directions to go where you could pay up for like a Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields, or even like Justin Herbert. And then you have the really low range of guys like Sam Howell, who right now has the third highest ownership among quarterbacks on the slate, which is kind of wild to me going up against the Arizona Cardinals. Hmm. And then you have other guys like Baker Mayfield, who's seemingly getting some sort of steam, and Jordan Love, who's only 5K. But what are you doing this week at quarterback?
Yeah. So, I mean, kind of like you said, it's a week where we don't know anything. We think we do and we don't. So we kind of have to embrace that. But what we think we know, we can kind of try to attack those angles with, you know, where the field is kind of, you know, either uncertain or the field thinks that they know something that goes against what we're thinking. So I think that there's a couple defenses that are just absolutely abysmal that are on the slate this week. And I mean, I know you mentioned Sam Howell, but how bad is Arizona going to be this year? It's like, I mean, for me, we haven't got to running backs yet, but Brian Robinson Jr. seems like an incredible play at running back this week. You know, the guy got shot in the leg last year and still had carried the ball 20 times a game. So, you know, there's ways to get difference. And in one way, you know, if Sam Howell's going to be chalk, you know, maybe you play Brian Robinson Jr. As a pivot off that. But so trying to attack really bad defenses, or what we think are going to be really bad defenses, in different ways that the field is not going to do that, is kind of how I think I'm going to approach this week. And so, you know, we got the Cardinals, who I think are going to be really bad on defense. We have the Rams, who are playing a divisional matchup against Seattle, and we know Seattle can chuck it. The Raiders, is this the biggest bounce back spot for Denver, the Denver offense? I mean, literally nobody is going to play Denver after last year. I mean, Russell Wilson's been free in drafts, best balls. Cortland Sutton's been free. Judy's not going before, you know, like the sixth round, fifth round. Tight end is kind of an unknown. Javonte Williams has a lot of question marks about how heavily he's going to be involved. You can get what I would expect to be a really low owned Denver offense this week. And that Raiders defense is going to be what I'm projecting to be really bad. So, there's a couple interesting spots. And then also on the flip side of that, right, there's spots where there's defenses that we've kind of historically thought would be bad, but, you know, they've made some additions in the offseason, and, you know, their roster or coaching staff looks a little bit different than what we're typically accustomed to. And a team like that comes to mind is the Houston Texans. So, you know, I know they brought in some pieces in the secondary, and, you know, they've had some high draft picks, and I know most of them spent on offense, but, you know, I don't necessarily think, you know, this Texans defense is just going to roll over, and, you know, let Lamar do what he wants to do. Especially, I mean, it's Lamar's first game back in almost a year. So, you know, there's just different ways to attack this slate. You know, I'm curious to see what the field thinks of the Patriots defense, because Jalen Hurts is always somebody that I have interest in playing. Because we know where the ball is going in that offense, so it's really easy to stack up. The Miami and Chargers game, that's the obvious one, right? I mean, you said it, it's the highest total game of the week. Everybody's gonna want pieces of that game. So Herbert and Tua are definitely in play. So I mean, if we're looking at a cheap QB, I'm just not sure how much these running quarterbacks are gonna be out there running week one. I guess, you know, if games are close, you could see Fields really in a divisional game, you know, running for over 100 yards, and, you know, would make a ton of sense to play him at 7,700. But I think one of these cheaper QBs is going to come out in the optimal when it's all said and done. And so, like, Geno Smith is 6,100. I already mentioned, you know, the Rams are what I'm projecting to be bad on defense. They don't have Jalen Ramsey anymore. You know, they're missing a lot of pieces that we're used to. It's pretty much Aaron Donald and nobody else. And, you know, Kenneth Walker's been nursing a groin injury. Charbonnet's a rookie. Like, Geno Smith lit the world on fire last year, and we know it's pretty much going to be Lockett and DK out there, you know, and they've got their rookie receivers dealing with a fractured wrist. So it's pretty easy to stack up Seattle in what I project to be a game that they score a bunch of points. So I like Seattle a lot, and Geno Smith at 6,100 for being, you know, a top five fantasy quarterback last year feels criminally underpriced, especially playing at home. So he's really interesting. That's probably the cheapest I'll go. I don't think I'm going to take a shot on any of the rookie QBs like Young or Stroud. Russell Wilson is 5,900. Okay, so he would be the cheapest I would probably go. And then I think Cincinnati Cleveland is also sneaky, assuming Burrow's a full go, which I would think he would be. He's got a Q tag, but I would assume he's playing. Deshaun Watson is 6K. So I don't even hate him there. And, you know, he's got new pieces and weapons that he can utilize, like Elijah Moore. And we know he can have success with Njoku and Amari Cooper. So that Cincinnati Cleveland is definitely a sneaky game to attack. But there's definitely some good spots to like here this week.
Yeah. So I think for me, when I'm looking at this slate, I think that I don't think the field is really going to pay up for any of the top three quarterbacks. I think everyone's just going to either go down to Herbert or Tua. I don't think Lamar could be in an elite spot, right? I mean, we know what he can do. We know Todd Monken's taking over as the offensive coordinator. They should throw the ball a lot more. I still think they're going to use Lamar as a runner, you know, maybe not as much as we've typically seen in years past. Now they're getting a matchup against Houston that we should be salivating over. The worry is, will the Texans be able to push them to a point where they have to, you know, continue to throw the ball? And I think that is kind of one of the wild cards, because if they can, then I think then you're talking about Lamar being in a nuclear spot, right? He has the best pass catching weapons he's ever had with Zay Flowers and obviously Mark Andrews and Rashad Bateman and whatever the body of Odell is, whatever's left there, you know, with him still being there. But he has a ton of pass catching options. The we're not worried about the Texans defense whatsoever. So I do think Lamar could be kind of a contrarian play, because I think he's probably going to be sub 5%. Like, I think ownership this week is going to be very flat, with like it normally is anyways on a slate, but even more so on a week like this. And so I think Lamar is pretty interesting at 8K, paying all the way up there, because people just aren't going to do it. I think also Trevor Lawrence is in a really good spot. Yeah. He was right below the two quarterbacks. I think they're going to carry the most, and Herbert and Tua. With Trevor Lawrence, you know, they're going up against Indy. Indy's secondary is going to be really bad this year. Like, it's going to be really, really bad. They, you know, obviously traded away Gilmore over the offseason, and they're running out a bunch of guys. Now they have their second round pick, Juju Brents, and then after that, it's just a bunch of dudes. So that secondary is going to be really, really bad. So you're gonna be able to throw all over them. Again, same situation. Are the Colts going to be able to, with Anthony Richardson, going to be able to push the Jaguars, be able to throw him much? But either way, I still think that Trevor Lawrence is in the lead spot. You can pair him with Calvin Ridley or Christian Kirk or both, or Evan Ingram. So there's a lot of options here within that offense that you can target. Now, so what worries me with Joe Burrow is, now it's still Joe Burrow, it's the Bengals, obviously, but the Browns have been really, really good against the Bengals in his career. I mean, I'm talking like really good. I think the Bengals are like 1-4. He hasn't thrown for more than 280 passing yards in a game against them since 2020. Like, the Browns have been really, really good at containing Joe Burrow. And last year they allowed the third fewest fantasy DK points to quarterbacks last year. And like I said, Joe Burrow has just really struggled against this defense. And so I would almost rather go to the other side of that game, go to Deshaun Watson, who, you know, is 6,100. Isn't going to carry any ownership either. And, you know, this offense is a cheap offense to target with Amari Cooper and Elijah Moore, David Njoku. And so, and we saw him a little bit this offseason or during the preseason run the ball. And he does possess that ability to do that. Now, he's not like a Lamar Jackson going to be able to do that, but somebody that could get you 40 or 50 rushing yards is certainly in the range of possibilities for Deshaun Watson. So at 6K, I think he does make a lot of sense. Now, the guy that if I'm going to really pay down at quarterback, like, everybody's all over Sam Howell at 4,900.
Do it. Because I was just looking at a guy. I'm hoping you say the same guy.
It's Jordan Love at 5K. Nah, and like,
boo.
Jordan Love looked great in the preseason. Now, it is preseason, so I do want to say that. But he looked fantastic in the preseason. Like, he looked really good. That offense looked really good. Chicago, I think, is, you know, their defense is better than what it was last year. They made some improvements, but they still don't have much in way of a pass rush. So yes, they added Ngakoue a few weeks ago, but, you know, that's about it. Like, they added some linebackers. Their secondary is okay, but like, this is definitely a defense you can target. Jordan Love has the ability to run the football. Christian Watson is like 6K, and then you have like Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs, Luke Musgrave. Like, it's a very cheap stack, but everybody's talking about going with a, you know, Sam Howell, but like nobody's talking about the Packers. And I do think the Packers is one that I think we should look at target. Now, I get it with Baker Mayfield. I've heard some buzz about him because the Vikings defense is incredibly bad. And so like you have Christian, or you have Mike Evans and you have Chris Godwin there. So you obviously have the pass catchers to be able to do it, but I just can't play Baker Mayfield. But who is the quarterback you were talking about?
Derek Carr is really interesting to me. Because Kendra Miller's supposed to miss this game, right? And we know Kamara is already suspended for 3 games. So, I mean, unless they're going to just turn around and hand off the ball 35 times to Jamal Williams, I mean, Carr's going to have to sling it a little bit. And they're playing Tennessee, who we've historically, you know, attacked as a complete pass funnel. Like, historically, Tennessee has been really, really bad against opposing quarterbacks, and that's because they just load the box and play a lot of single high and man-on-man coverage on the outside. I mean, good luck doing that to Chris Olave. Like, and we know, you know, Derek Carr showed, whether it was Mac Hollins games or Davante Adams games, you know, Carr has always, you know, taken to a guy and in one specific game, and will just pepper the same guy over and over and over again if it's a good matchup that he likes. So I mean, Olave's 6,500. You know, Carr's 5,300. It's a very affordable stack to get, you know, what could be all of that passing offense. And then you can even throw in the tight end. I don't know if you've seen, I haven't really been super honed in on, you know, backup tight ends in camp, but I mean, is Moreau taking any, like, we know they had that connection in Las Vegas, but is he taking any of the snaps away from Juwan Johnson, or is that just mainly Juwan Johnson's team and he's the A guy? So yeah, so you just play Juwan Johnson then at 3,900, pair him with Carr and Olave, and I mean, even Michael Thomas is like 5K. So you know, there's obviously a negative connotation with Michael Thomas in fantasy football, and you know, he's got a brand new quarterback, you know, it's a new coaching staff. You know, so who knows? I mean,
don't get me wrong. I mean, it's intriguing, right? Because the Titans were a complete just sieve in terms of the passing. Their corners are terrible. They're really, really elite against the run, but they are really bad against the pass. And so it does, I don't hate the play of playing Derek Carr. And, you know, Chris Olave, I think, can absolutely cook. But it feels like more like
they're in New Orleans too. Superdome. Yeah.
And it's just, but I also just feel like too that I would rather just play the like Chris Olave, right? Like that's where,
yeah, for
that's,
sure.
That's what I, you know, like I definitely have some interest, and we'll get to that whenever we get to the you know, the wide receivers. Like there's definitely some one off plays that I definitely want to get to.
Yep.
And then Russell Wilson, I think, is also at $5,900. I think you kind of mentioned him a little bit against the Raiders. I think Raiders defense is going to be terrible. I don't know what the hell is going on with Chandler Jones all of a sudden, but like they don't have the pass rushing depth to be able to cover that. And their secondary is going to be so incredibly bad. Like it's so, so bad. Yeah, the ghost of Marcus Peters, who hasn't been good really ever. Like he was more of a ball hawking corner, but he gets burnt all the time. But now, like last year, he allowed like a, it was like 116 something passer rating, a 70% completion percentage, 6 touchdowns at only like 13 games. And then you have a couple other corners that they added. They're all bad. And so like, you're going to be able to throw all over them. And so I do think that, you know, even with Jerry Jeudy likely to miss, you can play Cortland Sutton. You can play Marvin Mims, who's 3K. Mm-hmm. And then you also, you know, have the tight ends that you can go to as well. And so, like, I just think Russell Wilson. But again, like, I don't know if, like, he has that kind of ceiling either that, like, I really want to get to either. So, I don't know. But I do think that he would be a guy. So, like, for me, I'm going to either pay up for Lamar Jackson or Justin Fields. I think both those do are going to be low-owned, and they shouldn't be. If not, I'm gonna go to the middle range of Trevor Lawrence. And if I'm going to pay down, I'm going to go to Jordan Love. I think Jordan Love is going to be kind of an off the radar kind of play that he's going to carry new ownership. And I think the upside's there. So I'm looking at a quarterback. I'm going to sprinkle in some Chargers of Dolphins. You have to get involved in that game.
Yeah.
But I'm just not, I'm not going to go all in on that game either. But I'll definitely have pieces for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, they played, I think it was just once last year, but I mean, it was like 24-20, I think was the ending score. And nobody had, you know, Like Tyreek only caught 4 of his 10 targets for 80 yards and a touchdown. So like there was not any, you know, had to have it plays from that game. And we'll talk a little bit more about that game when we get to running back too, which is probably soon.
Yeah. And I saw today, I can't remember, I wish I could credit to where I saw it from, but it was a crazy stat that last year Tua had 5 300 yard passing games last year. And in those, Tyreek and Tyreek and Jalen Waddle had 100 yard games 9 times.
Yeah, it's because I mean they're
almost every one of those they both, because that's all there is there.
That's so yeah, that's the offense. Stack
because yep. Yes, it's not super spread out or anything like that. So
well, that's why we like Seattle and why we like Denver, right? Like we should have a pretty good idea where the ball's going, but we don't. You know, even if McLaurin's out for Washington, I feel like they can just do some weird stuff, like Bienemy coming over from Kansas City. You know, that just the Kansas City playbook, right? Of just getting everybody involved and just keeping the defense from not being able to predict what the offense is doing. So like, even if McLaurin's out, I think everybody's going to play Dotson, which don't get me wrong, Dotson's a really good player and is a great play this week. But it's like Washington can still do a bunch of stuff, you know, with all these different guys like Cole Turner at tight end, or, you know, Curtis Samuel might end up getting some decent work, and, you know, Dotson and Gibson and Robinson. But then you got like the Seahawks. I mean, either the running back scoring or it's Lockett and Metcalf if, you know, Smith and Jigba's out. So, you know, there's just a lot of easy stacks and high upside spots that, you know, I don't think the field's going to necessarily gravitate towards. And so that's where I'm going to go.
Yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and jump over to the running back position. You have Christian McCaffrey, who's 8,700. Eckler's 84. Nick Chubb's 82. Bijan Robinson is 8K. I was a little surprised they already steamed him up that high. I mean, I don't have any problem with it, but yeah, I think you're probably right, because he was like 5,800 or something.
He'd
like that.
He'd be 100% on.
Yeah. So then from there, you have Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Ramondre Stevenson, Travis Etienne, Joe Mixon, J.K. Dobbins, Alexander Mattison, James Conner, Aaron Jones, Cam Akers, Najee Harris, and Ken Walker, all in 6K above range. Of these running backs, I'll say this. I really don't have much interest in playing much of like Christian McCaffrey or Austin Eckler or Nick Chubb. Like, nope. I don't think any of them are going to like kill me. Like, I think the guys that I really want to play are in the 6K range. Like, I don't mind Bijan. Like, I do think that he's not a bad play at 8K. But I think the running backs that I'm really most gravitated towards is J.K. Dobbins, for one. He's 6,600. You get Houston. I mean, we know how Houston was absolutely atrocious against the run last year. They averaged, like, they allowed something like 100, almost 150 rushing yards per game last year. Like, they are truly terrible. And there's been some talk lately that J.K. Dobbins is actually more involved in the passing game than what people think he's going to be, because he's never really typically been involved in the passing game. But $6,600 for J.K. Dobbins is an elite spot. Joe Mixon at $6,800 against Cleveland, who really struggled to stop the run last year. And then Aaron Jones at $6,300 feels incredibly too cheap for the upside that he possesses in this game against Chicago, who also was really bad against the run last year. So, like, those three guys really stand out to me as plays that I really want to get to.
Yeah, I don't really hate any of those. I'm good with not paying up as well this week. There's a bunch of guys in the 5K range that I like, so that's probably where I'm going to go.
Well, why don't you just who's it that you're? Is it Raheem Mostert that you're the most interested in? 5,100.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I do like Mostert. You know, Jeff Wilson's on IR. You know, Achane's been dealing with an injury through camp, and he's a rookie. So, and Mostert's he's a disciple of, you know, the coaching staff coming over from San Francisco. So, you know, he was a starter last year. We've seen his heavy involvement, can be heavily involved in the pass game, can get goal line work. I think he's going to be a full, you know, three down, 85% of snaps back this week. And we know the Chargers have historically been a very good run funnel. So yeah, I do like Mostert a lot, just from the fact that he's probably not going to hardly come off the field, and it's one of the highest total games of the week. And it's probably a different piece that, you know, I don't think everybody wants to gravitate towards the pass games there. So he may go a bit overlooked. I already mentioned Bijan Robinson, 5,100 against the atrocious Arizona Cardinals. I mean, the Cardinals just, they just don't have anybody. Like, I'm just expecting them to get steamrolled every single week. Washington's a 7-point favorite. Washington shouldn't be a 7-point favorite over anybody, but they are. Robinson, like I said, you know, guy gets shot in the leg with like a week before the season starts last year and comes out a couple weeks later and he's carrying the ball 20 times a game in the NFL. Dude's a freak. So give me a fully healthy Brian Robinson Jr. at 5,100 against the worst defense in the NFL, or what should be this year. And they're playing at home as well. So I'm expecting a very full workload for him. And we've seen him catch passes as well. I know Antonio Gibson is historically the third down back, but they say they want to get B-Rob involved, you know, more in the pass game as well. So I do like him. And then in the same, you know, kind of in the same breath of not coming off the field as Mostert, is Jamal Williams in New Orleans. And for the same reasons, you know, I mentioned that Carr's a good play because, you know, they may not just turn around and hand the ball off 35 times to Jamal Williams, but if they do turn around and hand the ball off to somebody that much, it will be Jamal Williams because they don't have hardly anybody else on that roster that they can turn around. And I know Taysom Hill will mix in and probably will get some of the – could steal some goal line work, but Jamal Williams led the NFL in touchdowns last year. So, I mean, it's not crazy to think that his role carries over to New Orleans, especially when they don't have anybody else this week. And, you know, everybody's going to see the red number 4 and say, oh, Tennessee, you can't run on them. And again, if we're, yes, historically using Tennessee's matchup as on paper, yes, playing a running back against them is bad, but defenses tend to not be sticky year over year. And things change, and you know, what we assume about a defense is not always correct. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe Tennessee will end up being one of the worst rush defenses in the NFL this year. We don't know. So, and we also don't know what the Saints offensive game plan is going to look like either. So, I mean, there's a very real possibility Jamal Williams is up in that 85% snap bucket as well. And doesn't have a ton of pass catching ability, but at the same time, Derek Carr loves just dumping it off to running backs. And so if he's the guy that's on the field, I mean, I could see him getting a handful of targets here too. And he's 5,100. So those three guys really stand out to me from a usage standpoint. And then in that similar price range, consider me on the side of the fence with Javonte Williams that he's not going to get a full workload right out of the gate. And they know that P. Ryan's a capable number two that can handle 15 to 18 touches. And they ease Javonte Williams in with, like, you know, 10 to 12, maybe, you know, and if Javonte is the guy that ends up getting all the work, you'll probably have had to have played him because he's 5,700. But I mean, P. Ryan absolutely is in play as well at 5,100 if they end up splitting or if it favors P. Ryan a little bit, because it's only week one. So I think P. Ryan is absolutely interesting as well at 5,100. And in the same breath, you know, if you're on the side that you think Javonte's ready for a full workload and he gets 65% of the snaps and sees 6 to 8 targets, I mean, you have to play him at 5,700 against Vegas. You have to.
Yeah, I think that situation is going to be one that we want to parse out. Like, I don't really know what direction it could go. I do think Javonte Williams is going to play a little bit more of like the Alvin Kamara role in this offense.
Yeah.
Especially early in the season. So it wouldn't surprise me one bit if Javonte Williams ended up with something like 4 or 5 targets in this game, because they, especially in the preseason, they really utilized him. I think he had like 5 targets in the one game that he played in the preseason, something like that. It was 4 or 5 targets that he had in the preseason on only a couple drives that he played. I do think that is a way that they could really get him more involved. And honestly, it makes the most sense. Like, you're not going to take that wear and tear, you know, between the tackles and all that stuff whenever you can get somebody out in space. And we know how good Javonte Williams is in space. So I could see a situation where maybe that's a little bit more of what his role is. He's a little bit more involved in the passing game, but utilized a little bit less in the run game to start the season. And so
that would be smart.
PPR, yeah, I mean, it could be a way that maybe he still is a valuable option at 5,700 against this Raiders team. And so, like, I've thought about playing him just because of what his price is, but I just don't know if I will get there. And maybe you're right. Maybe going Samaje Perine at 5,100 is probably a smarter, he's cheaper option and stuff like that. But I do think somebody that you mentioned, Devon Achane, I think could actually be a very sneaky play. He shed the non-contact jersey Monday, so he's going to be good to go. He's $4,900. They've been there's been a lot of talk about him, and he is definitely their pass catching running back. He is on the smaller side. He's like 5'8", 188, 190 pounds. But Raheem Mostert's not a big running back either. He's only 195 pounds. So, but, I mean, Devon Achane has, you know, that 4.38 speed. They love this guy. I think they're going to somebody they're really going to try to utilize getting out in space. And if this is like a back-and-forth type of game, a little bit more high scoring, I think Devon Achane could be a player, especially without the limited number of options that they have. And he is a perfect fit for this outside zone scheme that Mike McDaniels runs. And so at $4,900, he's kind of he's not something I want to have a ton of exposure to, but like he definitely could be a player who sees five or six targets in this game and, you know, maybe eight carries, something like that. And so I don't know if you necessarily need to get there, but like just a little bit different of a play. And he could have a little bit bigger role. And let's be honest, Raheem Mostert's never been one to stay healthy. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, you start watching NFL Red Zone and all of a sudden it's Raheem Mostert left the game with undisclosed injury all of a sudden. So, and he's 30 plus years old. And so Devon Achane, I think, is somebody that we should be definitely at least have some intrigue with. But it'd probably be more of a, like if you're 20 max or 150 max type play versus, you know, you're not doing that in like a one entry or three entry max or anything like that. But so for me, I think really it comes down to, I'm really going to have a lot of exposure to those running backs that I mentioned. And then I do think I did mention, but Travis Etienne, I think also, especially in this game against Indianapolis, $6,900, somebody that I would also look at as well. So I'm going to be hanging out in this middle tier. I think Rashad White, I don't know if you mentioned that, $5,500. Because Minnesota's defense is terrible, right? And I do think that Baker Mayfield, we saw it last year, he targeted running backs. He checked down at the highest rate in the league last year. And so Rashad White, especially out the gate, at $5,500, I do think that if you're going to pay down in this 5K range, I think he's the one that makes the most sense because he is their lead back. Yes, Sean Tucker has drawn some hype lately, but I think at least initially they're going to give him every opportunity to fail. And so $5,500 Rashad White, I think also in a game that could be they're trailing, they're going to have to throw the ball more. I do think that is a pretty intriguing option at $5,500. So those would probably be the running backs I'm definitely looking at the most.
Yep. I'm right there with you. Just don't pay up. I don't think it's necessary to pay up a running back in this week. And, you know, there's a lot of guys that are going to be on the field in that 5 to 6K range.
All right, let's move over to wide receiver. I think we kind of parsed through the running backs enough. For me, this one is, so you have, you know, the top tier of Justin Jefferson, 8,800, Cooper Kupp, who is not going to play this week. I know he's questionable. He's not playing. He's still in Minnesota getting checked out for this hamstring issue. He's not playing. And so you have Tyreek Hill at $8,200, Jamar Chase, $8,100. Then in the 7K range is Devontae Adams, A.J. Brown, Keenan Allen, Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, and DK Metcalf. And then the 6K range is DeAndre Hopkins, which no thanks, at $6,900, T. Higgins, Tyler Lockett, Jerry Jeudy, who I don't think that he's going to play. He did some conditioning work, stuff like that, but I don't think he'll play. I think they take it safe with him, but he's 6,600. Calvin Ridley, 65. Chris Olave at 6,500. Then you have Terry McLaurin, who's very questionable with this turf toe issue. Mike Evans, Michael Pittman, DJ Moore, and Christian Watson in the 6K range and above. So what are some guys you're looking at in this range?
I really like the Seattle guys, and I know we mentioned it with Geno, but you know, Metcalf is 7K and Lockett's 6'7". They're gonna be that whole offense, and I think they're gonna just continue to ride Geno again this year. And I mean, we already mentioned it. Walker is dealing with a banged up groin, and you know, Charbonnet's a rookie. So, I don't know, man. I just have a feeling that Geno's gonna cook here. And you know, both the big boys are in play. And even in the first game that they played the Rams last year. Usually both DK and Lockett don't smash together, but in week 13 last year, DK had 29.7 and Lockett had 30.8. And then you pair that with Geno, who in week 13 had 27.9. So, you know, that's pretty much 90 points there from a three-man stack. Against the same team, and now this team doesn't have Jalen Ramsey and a couple other pieces. I really like it. So the two Seattle guys are high on my list. Obviously, you can play Tyreek and Keenan Allen from the Chargers Miami game. You mentioned the Bengals struggles against Cleveland. I still think Jamar Chase is in play, but it's probably it's probably Chase without Burrow is kind of how I would approach that. I don't think you need to load up Burrow, but definitely think Chase is in play. I'm not sure I'm going to get up to the Justin Jeffersons of the world, you know, 8,800, because, man, in week one, at 8,800, you have to score like almost 40 points for you to really burn me for not playing. And I know he did it last year in week one against Green Bay. He scored 45, but I don't know. It's a tough one. I just feel like this game against Tampa, they're not going to really, you know, push the ball on the other side. And now, granted, Minnesota's defense is bad enough that maybe Tampa scores some points and, you know, Jefferson has to continue to smash. And it is in Minnesota, so it is in the dome, which definitely helps as opposed to being outside in Tampa. I think if I was paying up, I would play Jefferson over like Tyreek and Chase. But man, I just don't know that I'm going to get there. I think I'm going to live in like this 6 to 7K range. Like you already mentioned Olave, Calvin Ridley's in his first game back, I know in a couple years, but you know, he's already shown a rapport with Lawrence in the preseason. You know, what, he had 3 catches for 30 yards on that first drive or whatever it was. So I'm not really worried about Russ there at all. And you know, Christian Kirk smashed in the lead dog role last year. We saw Zay Jones smash in some games where he was the lead dog. So I just think that offense as a whole is just going to be very, very, very good this year. And I don't think the Indy defense is going to be able to hold them down at all. So I really like Olave and Ridley there in the mid sixes, in addition to the Seattle guys. And outside of that, yeah, the 6K range is pretty, I mean, that's pretty much where it stops for me. You could definitely play Christian Watson as well. Especially if Jordan Love is going to continue to have success. I mean, Love has spent a lot of time, you know, as the backup QB learning under Rodgers, and now he's finally gets his chance. And, you know, he had some big plays to Watson last year down the stretch, and it's definitely a viable connection. So, you know, Watson's definitely in play there against Chicago, who was an abysmal defense last year.
Yeah, so I agree with a lot of that. I love, I mean, in the 6K range, I love Chris Olave and Ridley. I think both of those dudes are in just smash spots. Olave, especially against Tennessee. Tennessee's secondary is so bad. Olave was the best deep threat wide receiver, one of the best, you know, deep ball receivers last year in the league. And so and
Carr can sling it deep too.
Yeah, yes. So at 6,500, like, he's just in such a great spot. Kind of one of those one-offs I was talking about, but paying up, like, you know, obviously Tyreek at $8,200, like, that's probably as high as I'll go. Like, I agree. I don't think you have to go to Justin Jefferson, but Tyreek Hill at $8,200, the dude can go nuclear at any time. He can absolutely crush this slate by himself. And then, you know, between the Chargers wide receivers, like, I do like Keenan Allen. I think you can get there because they're going to be missing Jalen Ramsey. He's on IR, so they're not going to have him. The secondary is going to be very suspect, to say the least. And to be fair, I mean, to be honest, the Chargers' offensive line, now that it's completely healthy, is going to be really good. This offense is going to be top 5 in pace this year. Yep. You're going to throw the ball a ton. But I also think Mike Williams, big game Mike, who is 5,700, is well within play as well. And maybe I'd rather pay down to him at $5,700 instead of paying up for Keenan Allen at $7,300. I like that direction as well. Within this, and then Tyler Lockett, 6,700. I completely agree. So this is the Rams secondary. Let's play a little game. I want you to tell me who you've heard of from the set. This is their entire secondary. Okay, I think this might be the only name you know. Akilah Witherspoon. Have you ever heard of him?
Yeah, he was San Francisco.
Yeah, so I think that's gonna be the only guy. Trey Tomlinson is behind him. He's their 2023 sixth round pick. On the other side, starting is going to be Darian Kendrick, who's their 2022 sixth round pick. Behind him is Duke Shelley, undrafted free agent. The nickel is going to be Kobe Durant. And then you have their strong safety is Jordan Fuller and Quinton Lake. And then you have free safety. You have 2022 seventh round pick, Russ Yeast.
I told you it's bad.
It is going to be so fucking bad for this secondary. I mean, they feel so bad for Aaron Donald, right? Like, I know there's been talks about, like, trading him and stuff like that. And
he should have just retired. He talked about it. He should have just done it.
He was going to, and then he came back, and this whole thing just needs to be blown up. Like, actually, the Rams finally have a first-round pick next year. They just need to blow this entire thing up and try to just suck, right? And just Caleb Williams, right?
Do you think Stafford can keep it close enough to where Geno continues to throw? Because I could see it in the second half if it's a 21-point game that, you know, they just turn around and hand the ball off to the rookie.
But yeah, I mean, it's possible because, like, without Cooper Kupp, like, I mean, I guess we could talk about, so Puka Nacau is 3K, right? So I think he's going to be somebody that a lot of people are going to like and gravitate towards down the 3K range. Like, there's some, like, pretty solid 3K wide receivers this week. Puka is one, he's 3K. Because Cooper's the Cup's not going to play. But I think if I'm going to play somebody, if I'm going to have a run back option, it's going to be Tyler Higbee. The games last year without Cooper Kupp, he had like a 24% target share within the offense.
Seattle's
the games with Cooper Kupp,
defense like is a tight end funnel.
Yes. And so, yeah. So I think if I was going to do a run back, it's going to be Tyler Higbee. But like, and Marvin Mims is 3K. But like, yeah, like it, that's tough because they just don't have anybody else to throw the fucking ball to. Right, like I think they're going to try to control the clock. I could try to control the game. Cam Akers, Seattle did struggle a lot against the run last year, but Cam Akers, I think is they're going to try to utilize him as much as they can and try to make this just a really low pace game. Try to, you know, just kind of slug it out type of game here. Before, you know, because without Cooper Kupp, I mean, they just have nobody else. There's nobody that anybody's concerned with, you know, in the secondary or in, within this offense in terms of weapons. So. That is my concern with this. Like, is like we know if you let Pete Carroll just run the ball, like Pete Carroll will run the fucking ball, right? Yep. And so that's the concern with this game. Like, is there enough here with that to be able to push? I think if Cooper Kupp was playing, it would be a different conversation. But since he's not, I mean, you're talking about Van Jefferson and Puka Nacau as like their wide receivers, right? Tutu Atwell, like it's bad.
I guess the point becomes, so let's say you're playing Geno with the double stack of Lockett and Metcalf. At that point, you're going to need Seattle to score 30-plus for you to take down tourneys. Can the Rams get to 20 points? I mean, 20 isn't all that much, but, I mean, it's only two touchdowns. And, I mean, Stafford's good enough that he can do it.
Yeah, but, like... I mean, the Rams' offensive line is still not going to be very good. Like, and the Seattle's defense has gotten better. Like,
Seattle just doesn't pressure the QB though. They rush four and sit back. It's typically their MO. I mean, and again, this is all with the looking through the lens of, you know, we're relying a little bit on priors to make future predictions. So, I mean, they could come out with a completely different game plan and blitz the hell out of Stafford and play a lot of single coverage on the outside, but that would just be something we haven't seen out of Seattle, you know, and pretty much ever since the Legion of Boom was created.
Well, I mean, they obviously their secondary is completely revamped. They, you know, spent a top 10 pick on another corner this year too. So
yeah,
this defense is going to be completely different, or at least a little bit more different. I think this defense is going to be better than what it was last year. So like, I think next week's the week that we're really going to want to go all in on Seattle. Because they play the Lions. So we get another rematch of that monster.
Oh, God. Master. Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be one that everybody's going to be on for sure after what happened last year with those two teams. So
damn.
Yeah.
That so, really makes you want to get on them this week because they're going to be so popular next week, especially if they go off this week.
Oh, for sure. That's all I'm going to be talking about. What was it, like 48 to 45 or whatever?
Yeah,
it was
48 to 45. Hockenson caught a billion passes and Geno threw for a million yards.
Yeah, you either had all the pieces of that game or you didn't make any money.
Yeah, like Hockenson scored like 42 that week.
Yeah.
And so did Geno and DK and Lockett. They just smashed.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm with you, man. I think Seattle is a phenomenal. We know where the ball's going. Like, that secondary you just listed off is so that's a lot. You're asking a lot of young guys to cover DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean with not much. I mean obviously they have Aaron Donald. So Aaron Donald's going to be able to, be able to get pressure.
They'll just triple team him.
Yes, and so I don't think they're going to be able to get a ton of pressure, which is the problem. Right? You have to have an elite pass rush to be able to cover up some of those issues, right? And so, Now, I think the 5K range, I think, is really, really good. I think, like I already mentioned, with Mike Williams at $5,700. Yep. And then you have Christian Kirk, who's $5,600. Debo Samuel's only $5,500. And then you have Deontay Johnson, who I know a lot of people are going to see San Francisco and they're not going to want to play anybody from Pittsburgh, but San Francisco's secondary was not very good last year. They really struggled against opposing quarterbacks and opposing wide receivers. Like, that's how you beat them. And then we have Nick Bosa, who might not even play in that game, which is looking more and more likely that he won't, because they're probably not going to get a contract done by then. But Deontay is only 5,300. And then you have Courtland Sutton, who's only 5,200 with no Jerry Jeudy. He's going to be the 100% the target hog in this offense. He's the guy. It's going to be him. And then Marvin Mims, who I mentioned, is only 3K. So he is in play.
Sutton is a phenomenal play.
Yes, at $5,200. And then you have Jahan Dotson. But Jahan Dotson is going to be probably 30%+ rostered, because it doesn't sound
great. Dotson's going to be what, three times as much percentage as Sutton at the same price?
I would assume, yeah. Jahan Dotson is going to be ridiculously owned, and especially if Terry McLaurin's out.
Yeah.
Because in the preseason, Jahan Dotson was peppered with targets once Terry McLaurin left. And so he's only 5K. So he's going to be ridiculously owned at that price. So I do think, you know, if you want to pivot to somebody like Courtland Sutton at 5,200, and even somebody like Jordan Addison, who's only 5,100, the rookie wide receiver against Tampa, like, I think that is also another way you can get leverage off of that.
The issue with Sutton last year was not volume. It was efficiency. And he had over 100 targets. He almost had 1,000 yards receiving. He only caught, like, what, four touchdowns? He only caught, like, 45% of his targets that he had. Or 50, whatever. I don't remember if it was 45 or 60 catches that he had. But it was a really inefficient, hey, you're going deep, and I'm just going to miss you deep. It was, you know, the MO for the Broncos and Sutton last year. But, I mean, if that connection has gotten a little better now in year two, there's zero expectations for the Broncos now. And, you know, with Sean Payton in town, you know, maybe that offense is a little more efficient, and, you know, Russ doesn't have any of the pressure on him anymore because of how bad they were last year. And so, I don't know. I can just see, you know, Sutton hanging 140 yards and two scores this week.
Nathaniel Hackett was so bad.
So bad.
Incredibly bad. Yes. Incredibly bad last year. So, yes, I think I do think that Courtland Sutton makes for a really strong play. And then in the 4K range, Zay Flowers at 4K.
Yep, for sure.
Against Houston. Like, it is a real possibility that he is their number one wide receiver, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Rashad Bateman's more than he is. Odell's more than he is. And he's only 4K against Houston. So Zay Flowers is somebody that I'm going to have a lot of exposure to. Elijah Moore is only $3,800. That is incredibly too cheap. He's going to be the number two target on this team. There's been a lot of talk about utilizing him a little bit more like a Debo Samuel type. They're going to put him in the backfield. They're going to really try to get the ball in his hands in space. And so I think that $3,800, like, it's not going to take much for him to be able to beat that. And then, like I already mentioned, I think the really cheap guys you're going to have is Puka Nacau at 3K and Marvin Mims is an absolute smash play at only 3K, especially if Jerry Jeudy is out. But I also think Marvin Mims is going to carry a ton of ownership. Like, it's going to be reflected in that, in his ownership. Because I just think at 3K, everybody's going to want to play him, especially if Jerry Judy's out. So,
dude,
I think
everybody's going to play Dotson and Mims. And playing Mims without Russ means you're not going to play Sutton, too. And everybody's just going to play Dotson instead. And Sutton is going to end up 10% owned against the Raiders. Is what's going to happen.
Yeah, I 100% can see that. So that's kind of where I'm coming in at the wide receiver position. I think we've kind of hit on everything. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think we covered it.
Yeah, all right. So let's jump over to tight ends. Obviously, no Kelce, which we may not have Kelce at all this week anyway, no matter what he was playing with the injury, but he's obviously not on the slate anyway. But Mark Andrews, 6,200. TJ Hockenson, 5,900. You have George Kittle at 57. Dallas Goedert at 5K. And then in the 4K range, you have Higbee, Evan Engram, Dalton Schultz, Kyle Pitts, Kmet, Gerald Everett, David Njoku, Patty Fry, and Greg Dulcich. So what are you doing at tight end this week?
I mean, you already mentioned Higbee in that game stack there. He would definitely be the run back. And I just love using tight ends in my game stack as it is, because that's where, you know, a lot of touchdowns come from the tight end position when they get in close. So I'm surprised they priced him up at 4,800. I guess they already had the cup news, but if this was out before the cup news, I mean, 4,800, that's pretty expensive for Higbee. I don't even think he was that much at all last year, but so you're definitely going to pay for him. I think he was usually like 3,800, 3,900. So yeah, Higbee's interesting. I mean, you can definitely play Ingram. I mean, the addition of Ridley should just make the offense better as a whole, and lead to more scoring opportunities. You know, I think maybe people click less of Christian Kirk's name and Evan Ingram's name because of Ridley. And I think that's probably a mistake. You know, we saw Lawrence last year will spread the ball around to multiple guys. You know, Zay Jones went for 30 plus a couple times, and Ingram did the same, and Christian Kirk did the same. So, you know, there is plenty of action to go around in that offense. So definitely would not be afraid of clicking Evan Ingram's name, especially if you're playing Trevor Lawrence. Njoku, we already mentioned, you know, wanting to play Deshaun Watson possibly. I would definitely play him if I was playing Watson. I wish I knew which tight end was going to play in Denver. I mean, Dulcich is definitely, you know, the more talented pass catcher and would be the logical option. But, you know, with, you know, Trotman coming in from New Orleans, that's, you know, another Sean Payton guy. You know, I could see him just taking over the number one role. So that's a lot of uncertainty there. But, yeah, one tight end that I'm kind of interested to see how well, I'll mention three more tight ends and then I'll turn it over to you. So one tight end I'm really interested to see how well they do this year, and that's Irv Smith Jr. in Cincinnati. And I know Joe Burrow's not historically been a big target the tight end guy, but I mean, there were usable weeks last year for Hayden Hurst. And I mean, Irv Smith has always shown that he's an athletic pass catching tight end. So he's definitely somebody I'm going to keep an eye on. I'm not sure I'm going to use him this week, but he's cheap enough to where, you know, if he doesn't really have the best game in the world, to where his price is going to carry over moving forward, and we can play him in good matchups, probably at a cheap price. And then McBride for Arizona is another one. He, you know, was the award winner for college receiving tight ends 2 years ago and was a rookie last year. And we saw him smash in one of the weeks last year. And he's got, you know, a backup quarterback that we know backup QBs tend to love to target the tight ends because they're safety blankets and don't like to force things down the field. So McBride's really interesting, especially if you're stacking up Washington. And then also on the flip side of that same game, I mean, Logan Thomas has a Q tag. If he's out, Cole Turner wheels up. Anybody? Former wide receiver turned tight end that everybody in the whole Washington fan base, when they picked up Turner, said that they saw Bienemy turning him into his version of Travis Kelce. So I don't know. It's one of those kind of unknown off the wall plays, but Cole Turner is definitely athletic enough to where he can have monster mismatches with linebackers and nickel corners. Like I said, former wide receiver transitioned to tight end. So definitely super interesting play there. Especially if McLaurin's out. And Logan Thomas.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think so for me, Gerald Everett, I think starts you know, somebody that I really want to look at. I mean, Tyler Higbee, we've already talked about, so I need to get him, but Gerald Everett at $4,300 against Miami. I think that, you know, he's probably, you know, I think 5 to 7 targets is definitely in the range of outcomes for him. And so at his price at only $4,300 is somewhere that I'm definitely going to be looking and having quite a bit of exposure to. Juwan Johnson, you already mentioned, but Juwan Johnson is only $3,900. He's utilized heavily inside the red zone. And so big time red zone threat. And then Chigakonkwo at $3,800, obviously super explosive tight end. We saw him last year just have some really big games. And, you know, if they do trail and they do fall behind in this game, you know, I think Chig could be somebody that we could take a look at, you know, as a really strong option. He's only $3,800, you know, against the Saints. And so the Saints weren't great last year against opposing tight ends either. And so $3,800. I think Chig could be something if you want to get a little bit different. And then Luke Musgrave, I think, is somebody we definitely could be looking at $2,900. I mean, he ran a ton with the ones over the preseason, and they don't have anybody else behind him. Obviously, Robert Tonyan is gone. And so, you know, him and Jordan Love have really seemed to build a pretty strong rapport over the preseason. So $2,900, Luke Musgrave, I think, is also a place that if you want to get cheap at tight end. And really, I mean, at $2,900, he doesn't even do a whole lot. You know, three catches and a touchdown. I mean, you're in business. So I think Luke Musgrave, super athletic tight end, is somebody that that we definitely should be looking at as an option this week. It's just kind of a cheap tight end option. And then maybe someone like Kyle Granson. So Jelani Woods was placed on IR, so it's kind of him and Mo Alie-Cox. And so, but Kyle Granson is only $2,900 as well. And, you know, Anthony Richardson could be somebody that, you know, with the limited resources in terms of talent here, no Jonathan Taylor, obviously, in this offense. I guess that's something we didn't really talk about with Deion Jackson and Evan Hull situation here, because I don't think Zach Moss is going to play. And so it's going to be those two. And both of those guys are, like, super cheap running backs. Both of them are, I think, in the 4K range.
Dude, Hull is an elite pass-catching running back. And the dude had like almost 100 catches in college, which is it's unheard of.
I will say Deion Jackson, last year, I think he had 5 games last year, who was a part-time player who had a 10% target share in each five games last year. So that he could be utilized there as well. But Kyle Granson could be another option, really cheap option for something like Anthony Richardson to look at. So I think if you wanted to go there, maybe we could look at that. But that's kind of all I have at tight end. I'm pretty much going to be pretty narrow here with Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett. And then I might mix in a few guys here and there, but Juwan Johnson.
I'm going to have so much Cole Turner. I can see it now. God damn it. It's week and then, one. I mean, obviously,
Mark Andrews, certainly, if you have the money to pay up for somebody that's at tight end at $6,200, you could do that. But I'm not playing George Kittle at all. So I'm not worried about that.
Oh, also, okay. if somehow Mark Andrews is ruled out, you just play Likely and you move on.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, that's a good call.
You just, it doesn't matter if he's 55, 60% owned. You just click the button and move.
I think he returned to practice today. So
okay, but definitely something to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, so we'll see. But defenses, let's just scroll to the bottom because that's what we do. We don't even talk about the top guys. I mean, you have like the Texans, the Bucks, the Raiders, the Colts, the Dolphins, the Cardinals, the Titans, the Browns, the Panthers, Rams, Patriots. I mean, there's quite a bit of options here that are sub 3K at defense. Is there anybody that stands out?
I like, well, obviously the Commanders at 2,800. That's who everybody's going to click, right? But it's really hard not to click it because these other ones are just kind of, you know, like $200, $300 cheaper, and that's it. It's like you're not playing. I don't think you're going to play Houston against Baltimore. You could because they're min price. Tampa at Minnie, Vegas at Denver, Indy at home against Jacksonville, Miami at the Chargers, Arizona at Washington, and then you're all of a sudden you're at $2,500. You're only $300 cheaper than Washington at home against Arizona. I think if you're only playing, you know, a couple teams, I would just click Washington and move on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that. I don't.
Otherwise, I'd probably just click the bottom one and click Houston and just pray for the unknown.
I mean, maybe the Packers at $2,800. You know, Justin Fields can be inaccurate at times and turn the ball over. So, you know, pick six. They do have good pass rush. Their secondary is pretty good. But like, so $2,800 Packers. Like, I don't mind.
If they were at home, I'd love it. But they're on the road.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, I don't know. Maybe the Falcons $3,200. I mean, that's a little bit more that I'd want to go up to, but. The Falcons and the Seahawks, $3,300 and $3,200. If you had the money to cover it,
your Cleveland team. You said Burrow's not good against Cleveland. Cleveland's at home.
Yeah, that's fair. $2,600. We know their pass rush is really good with Myles Garrett and everybody else they have there. So, and we know that I'm just ready to watch Orlando Brown just become a turnstile because that's what he is. Like, it's one of the funniest like things this offseason was seeing everybody like try to bag on the Chiefs for.
And Burrow's not 100% healthy either. So.
No.
Cleveland, actually, I mean, Cody just put it in chat, but Cleveland, he thinks Cleveland's interesting, and so do I.
I do, too. I think the Browns win this game, honestly.
It wouldn't shock me. I mean, I wrote off Deshaun Watson last year because of how long the layoff is, but now that he's played, you know, a handful of games last season and has had a full, undistracted offseason to go through, I think we start to see back to what he was in Houston. So, and I mean, they did him favors. They brought in Elijah Moore and I mean, I would assume Nick Chubb's going to be on the field for a ton of work, and he's definitely better than Kareem Hunt is or
was. They still have one of the best offensive lines in the league.
Yeah. I agree. I think the Browns offense is definitely very interesting this year.
Yeah. All right. So I don't think we need to spend that much time on defense. I think that's kind of where I'm coming in at. So let's do our favorite thing that we always do, and let's build a lineup.
Let's do it. First one of the year.
Yeah. So I'll let you lead it off. What are we starting with?
Let's go with old B-Rob, Brian Robinson.
Brian Robinson, $5,100. You know what? I'm going to go with it. You know, we just kind of talked about it a little bit. Fuck it. Let's do Deshaun Watson.
Well, then you have to play Amari. I guess you don't have to. You could play Elijah and Joku, but I would want to play Amari personally, especially because they're at home. So
yeah, give me
Amari.
Yeah,
and he's only 5,800. Jesus, yeah. He's only 5,800. Dude, that's
so. Do you
want to
do
free
run back here of Jamar Chase?
Yeah,
yeah. All right. So I locked in Elijah Moore too. So I got him locked in.
Okay, so you want Moore instead of Njoku?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. All right, let me click.
So that leaves a running back, tight end, flex, and defense with $5,300 remaining for the position.
I don't want to fade Seattle at all. So let's go. You like DK or Lockett more? I'll say DK.
All right, 7K. You know what? Let me see something. Maybe it would be wiser because I would like to free up. I want at least some exposure to that Chargers-Miami game. And if we don't go Elijah, we go Njoku, that would free us up a wide receiver spot.
Let's go ahead and also plug in. Let's plug in defense too.
All right.
Let's. I guess Commander, since we're stacking the Browns game, we don't want to use Browns.
Little running back and defense correlation there. I like it. Little stack.
Yeah, true. Okay.
So $5,500 remaining between a running back and a wide receiver. So we could completely just punt the running back position and not have any like high price guy. And we could go with like a... We could do like a weird like Devin Achane and Mike Williams. Little mini stack.
Or
we could drop down from the defense and go Mostert.
Yeah, you could go Mostert with Williams, and then you just need a $2,700 defense, and I would rather go that route.
So
dude, that's a sexy team. I actually like that a lot. I would say probably, I mean, what do you think? New England at home against Philly?
I was thinking the Titans.
Titans on the road in New Orleans? I could get behind that.
Or Carolina. I guess Carolina would be the other option, too.
Yeah, Carolina at ATL. I could get behind that, too.
But I don't know if they're going to have Brian Burns. So, like, he's holding out. So, I think I'd rather have the Titans.
I think New Orleans could end up throwing more. So, I would say Titans are probably the best bet for points.
Yeah.
I think Atlanta's probably just going to run the ball a shit ton.
All right. So this puts it at Deshaun Watson, Brian Robinson, Raheem Mostert, Amari Cooper, Mike Williams, Jamar Chase, David Njoku, DK Metcalf, and the Titans team. Damn. I like that team.
I actually really like that team too. I might have to throw that in a three max.
That is, that's really nice. I like the Jags team.
I mean, that's this three number ones on receiver. DK, Chase, and Amari with frickin' Mike Williams as a number two.
I like that. You get exposure to that Miami and Chargers game.
Mini stack with Mostert and Williams, and you get the some rushing touchdowns out of Washington and hope they don't score any passing touchdowns. I fuck with it.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the one. That's the one. I like that. I like that team. So just over an hour on the show. Not bad. Now, of course, we had D-Bro on here who we were supposed to have D-Bro on here. He's always on the first one, but he
we'd still be on TVs.
With yeah, with COVID. Yeah, we at the very least he'd be at running back right now if D-Bro was on the show. But he is supposed to be back next week, I think. We talked about it a little bit today.
Yeah.
He's going to try to be back next week for week two, which we'll have a little bit more information by then. So that should be fun. But we're looking forward to another season with the DFS D-Gen Nation pod. So let's win some money. Let's have fun. Again, don't go crazy this weekend. You know, I say that every year, and I'll probably end up playing too much instead of just going light. Because that's what you really should do. It's not really all that advantageous to really go all in on week one.
It's no fun to sit out the whole summer and then have it get here and be responsible. Come on, Kev. That's not fun.
Yeah. No, I know. That's what gets me. I'm like, you know what? No, I think I got an edge here. I got an edge.
That's right.
I'm going all in. I'm playing way more than I want.
That's what I tell myself is I have the edge because nobody knows what the hell they're doing, including me. So, and week one is just so unknown, right? Like, what was it? Was it 2 years ago when Arizona became all of a sudden became like the funnel against tight ends? It was week one. Somebody went for like 102 scores against them. And they were like, oh, maybe we should play tight ends against Arizona. And week two, you know, somebody went for like 100 yards and a score against them. And so it's like you learn a lot. You know, you can learn a lot in week one that you didn't necessarily know was the fact. And now Arizona has no longer got any of the players that they had, you know. But they're now somehow worse.
Yeah, they're so incredibly bad. But I also think that if they do it right, that they could really be a really good – like – they had the pieces. They were smart with trading that pick. And
getting, Caleb Williams is unbelievable.
Yes. And so, like, just don't fuck it up, Arizona. Like, just make sure you lose. Like now there's been, like, some of this talk about Kyler Murray. Like, oh, he's going to come back. Like, no, he's not. Like, they would be so stupid. Because if he comes back and he were to get injured and he can't pass a physical in May or March, excuse me, that his contract becomes 100% guaranteed. Like,
yeah.
you cannot fuck this up because, like, they're in such a good spot that I think they could trade him to, like, Atlanta over the offseason, get even more picks back, and you could potentially draft Caleb Williams. And then, if depending on how bad Houston is, if they're allowed to only win 3 or 4 games this year, then you could draft Marvin Harrison to get him his weapon to go with it, and you're cooking with, you know,
chilling.
And then you trade Kyler, and you get all those picks. And so, like, Arizona could, like, in a few years, could be in a really good spot. Now, Gannon, their head coach, needs to go. That dude is a moron. Like,
he's
have you seen some of the stuff he said?
He's, like, listening to paint dry. I know you're supposed to watch paint dry, but it sounds like listening to paint dry.
Who took the bus?
God. Oh, also, if you're in a survivor pool, pick the Commanders this week because you're not going to pick them the rest of the year. Just pick them week one.
Yeah.
They're not losing to Arizona.
No way.
There's no way.
And it sounds like Clayton Tune might be the quarterback. They still have it. Their depth chart is Clayton Tune or Josh Dobbs. So
did you see somebody put a clip of Arizona out on the internet? The quarterback just throws a really lazy pass down the field, and like the receiver and cornerback are like half ass running, and it hits the defender in the back of the helmet. It's like this is how the Arizona season is going to go. Pick the Commanders week one. I mean, it's true. Yeah. Arizona's
I wouldn't be shocked if they trade Marquise. They're going to trade Marquise Brown probably at some point, too.
Like, but and like you said, like, at what point does, you know, the front office say, you know, you guys need to lose these games? Because
you just put them in that position. You just keep trading their players away. I mean, they trade away Isaiah Simmons already.
True.
For a seventh round pick. And then, like I said, like, I think you trade away Marquise Brown.
And
like, no, you're
because like what was it last year when Lovie Smith helped the Bears by winning the game in Houston?
Yeah, they were gonna had news gonna get fired.
And he got and he got you know, people were pissed at him for it for actually like winning a game. So I mean that stuff's real.
Oh yeah, they can't mess this up. So before we get out of here, Walido, thoughts on the squad? If it was anybody else, maybe we wouldn't answer. But since you, Walido, Carr, Mostert, Mixon, Michael Thomas. Justin Jefferson, I'm assuming. Godwin, yep. Njoku, Mike Williams, Commanders.
So it's Carr, MT, Mini, Skinny Stack, with no run back. Mike Williams, Mostert, mini. Mixon and Joku, mini. I mean, it's fine. It's a lot of mini stacks, but you also got Justin Jefferson in there. I'm not on Godwin at all this year, him and Evans as a whole. I just think that offense is going to be bad. But, I mean, Minnesota is really bad too on defense. So, I mean, I get it.
I almost would, if it was me, would rather.
What's Godwin's price? I'm just curious.
Pay down at Justin Jefferson and drop from him and pay up for Michael Thomas to Chris Olave.
I would just, because Godwin's 5'9", I would drop or raise Godwin to the 6,500 of Olave and drop MT to like whatever's 4,500 if you want to keep JJ.
Like say Flowers?
Yeah.
He's 4K.
Or if there's somehow a running back that becomes available from an injury or something, you could move Mike Williams from the flex.
Yeah.
No, there's definitely things you could do, but I definitely would play Olave before I played MT.
Yeah, because I just don't know what kind of ceiling Michael Thomas truly has anymore. Like, he's definitely going to be the possession wide receiver for sure. But I still think Chris Olave is the alpha in this offense, and he's the deep threat in this offense. And so,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So I don't mind seeing, like, I don't, like, it's hard for me to play Derek Carr just because it's Derek Carr, but it wouldn't shock me if he, you know, if he could get you. Cause the question, I guess, is the ceiling that you think you're going to need this week.
Because Carr's 5,300, right? If he gets you 20 to 25 at 5,300, you're actually chilling unless somebody goes for 35 or 40.
Yeah. So.
So, yeah, if you think nobody breaks the slate, you pay down a QB and play all the dudes.
Yeah. So, all right. That being said, appreciate everybody rocking with this. Glad to be back. I'm excited about it. I'm happy football is back. Finally. You know, I'm a White Sox fan, and it has been pretty brutal around these parts. So I'm happy football is back here for this, because I am done with the Chicago White Sox for the season. So anyways, with that being said, be sure to hit that like subscribe button. If you're listening on podcast form, be sure to rate and review. It really helps us out, and we will see you again next week. Now, we will be back next week at Thursday. I should put that out. That's our normal night we record, but with it being Chiefs game and everything, you know, I mean, you know,
yeah, nobody wants to be recording a podcast on opening night. You want to be enjoying the game no matter who's playing, even if it was, you know, Browns versus Falcons or something ridiculous. I'd still be, you know, wanting to just hang out and cut the TV on and just fire up, you know, get all the lineups that all your season longs and your best balls and be like, oh, who do I need? What do I need? Oh, no, he scored a touchdown. I'm in last. Oh, it's first game of week one. But that's, you know, it's all the feels. So happy it's
back. Or tilting showdown slate, which I'll be doing. So, anyways, also be sure to jump into our Discord. There's a link in every single one of our shows. Should be one in this one. But our Discord is absolutely free. We got DFS. We got Redraft. We got Best Ball. We got everything in there. Dynasty player props is really big in there. Cody and Tom, we should be going live this weekend for their player prop bet show, which is a lot of fun too. So keep it locked in here. We ain't going anywhere. Week one all the way through the Super Bowl is how we do. So good luck this weekend. Make a lot of money. And we will see you again next Thursday for week two, hopefully with D-Bro. So have a good weekend with the money. You know who you're talking to. The way the war back, I see what you got, adventures and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. Dangerous, you know. Dangerous, you know. Think you're a big man. You like your little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.